Hello, everybody. This is Again With This Melrose Place. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 10, The Tangled Web. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave and listeners.
We have a thrilling episode to get to. But first, would you like to tease our Again With This episode dropping this Friday, June 12th?
I would. It is Again With This episode 11. We will be watching Ms. Laura Layton in Law & Order Special Victims Unit, Season 8, Episode 18. It's called Responsible, and it is on Hulu and wherever else you can buy individual TV episodes. And it's a barn burner. So we definitely recommend you check it out and listen to us talk about it. We will be dropping that episode, like Tara said, June 12th.
Go to patreon.com/againwiththis to support us if you are not already a supporter, to access that episode when it drops, plus all of the archive of past bonus episodes we have already done. All right, let us get to this episode, The Tangled Web. Starting with our C plot, Michael resumes fucking with Kimberly's head. Dave enjoyed that one. That's actually how it's rendered in our doc, with a whole bunch of ellipses. Michael tracks Kimberly down wherever she is staying. She doesn't seem happy that he located her and doesn't let him in as she tells him she's going home to Cleveland. He is there to talk her out of it because he'll feel guilty if he's the reason that she derails her career. If she comes back to the hospital, he promises to leave her alone and be professional. She says she'll consider it. This is an extremely soapy scene, by the way. All of the staging and framing is like people looking in different directions off into the distance and
yeah,
half dark.
Mirror, it's- father, mirror.
Exactly. And the next time we see them, they are at the hospital. Michael is being professional. Kimberly is being frosty. A radiologist brings Michael some x-rays, and Kimberly knows they're for a 12-year-old patient of Michael's who may have a brain tumor. They put the film up and looks good. It's a good day. Kimberly gives Michael one smile, but takes off before it can develop into anything more. And that's really where we leave it for the two of them. That's it. Very short.
Yeah. I mean, I had some follow-up questions about this kid. Like, if he has brain tumor symptoms, but the scans are completely clear. Yeah, kind of a weird episode where I had time to think about these things, but let's go on.
I mean, maybe he just has migraines. It does happen.
Yeah, could be.
On to the B plot. Jake suspects Amanda's dad is up to shady shit. In the courtyard, the sprinklers are on. Amanda comes mincing down from her apartment in her robe and her bare feet. Her paper has been left out uncovered and is fully sodden, while Amanda and Billy's is dry. So she takes her ruined paper and switches it with theirs, and it is sincerely the most purely evil thing we've actually seen her do. And if she had done it to anyone else, I would be a lot more offended by it. But, you know, it's Amanda and Billy, so I don't care. But
yeah.
It's also apparently not the first time, because the unhappy couple comes out just then and Billy's like, not again. And Amanda claims she'll talk to the gardeners about the sprinklers, which I doubt it. Allison tries to make a big deal out of the fact that she has beaten Amanda to work every day for a week, but Amanda doesn't give a fuck, perhaps because she has a Jake in his boxers to get back to upstairs. He wants to get something going sexually, but she likes to keep nocturnal activities nocturnal, she says. Seems out of character for her, but okay. Mm. He offers to make coffee and talk, but she doesn't have time to analyze what they're doing either. Plus, she knows her daddy hates his people being late. She takes off and Jake winces as he regrets mixing business and pleasure. You can see this wince in the visual aids. That night, Amanda is eager to start the weekend, but Jake is exhausted. Amanda offers to talk to the boss. When he declines, she says it was a joke, but one wonders if it would have been if he had taken her up on it. Anyway, she's done talking and ditches her robe on her way out of the room, telling him to get the lights. The next night, he comes home tipsy with her dad, who is telling Jake it's good to have tax problems, though we don't hear why. Because then Amanda opens the door. You have tax knowledge. What possible reason could he have for making this statement, do you suppose?
What, that it's good to have tax problems?
Yeah.
The only good reason that I can see is that you are making money at a sufficient clip that the government has decided to take 41%.
Ah, I see.
I've heard from a friend, and actually those aren't problems that you want.
Right. All right.
It was a problem. I drowned in brown liquor. So Team Daddy Woodward, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Apparently they just sold 6 cars to someone in Tokyo, or to several someones. They shake hands goodbye before Mr. Woodward heads out to his waiting cab, giving Jake some parting wisdom as he goes. Clip 2.
If you're ever wondering what she sees in you, it's me. You're just like her old man.
Her face when she slams the door on him after this is classic. Like, I have to wonder if she worked with this actor before. Mm-hmm. Like, they seem to, like, her relationship with him qua the show is a little, like, weird and off-brand for Amanda, in my opinion. But she, like, she seems genuinely fond of the guy. Yeah. And her, like, all right, face was very funny, I thought.
Yeah. They do have good, like, indulgent dad, pampered daughter chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
After he's gone, Jake calls Mr. Woodward a great guy, and Amanda's like, I had to get rid of him so we could fuck. I'm paraphrasing. Jake is into it, though he also wants to talk about the tidbits that he learned about her while he and her dad were out. She doesn't want to engage and is in the process of undoing his pants while he notes that he doesn't know anything about her childhood, and they discuss that in clip 3.
You're asking if I pulled the wings off flies. I stopped just short.
I'm serious.
Okay, it was happy and normal. How was yours?
Lonely and miserable.
See? I don't need to know that.
I want you to know that.
What difference does it make? We're connecting now in the present. Why do you guys always have to complicate things?
Because that's what relationships are about, complicating things, getting to know each other. Did you always want to be in advertising?
Jake.
Into sports? What did prom queen most likely to succeed? Did they still call you Mandy in college?
Don't ever call me that.
What, Mandy? What's wrong with Mandy? It was good enough for Barry Manilow.
Good night, Jake.
This is very in character for her, just like not wanting to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Anyway, the next night, Jake's in bed with Amanda, still trying to get her to open up about real shit, which she is not interested in doing right before she falls asleep. They get into a spat about whether she's entitled to have private thoughts, and finally he pesters her into submission in clip 4.
What do you want to know? Fire away.
Okay, let's start with Mandy.
Damn you.
I was Jakey. Billy is still Billy. Come on, what is the big deal?
It's what my mother called me, all right? I just started 6th grade. That is a weird year for a girl, really difficult. My dad was away on business, and I had just come home from school. Anyway, there's this note on the kitchen table, and it says, I'm going away for a while. I love you, Mandy. I'll always love you. I never saw her again. She deserted us. Maybe you better go.
No chance.
It's so funny because right up until this scene, I would have bet money that she that her mother was dead, even though I know her mother comes back in Model's Inc.
Yeah. I mean, I also thought that that was the story she had been told, regardless of what ends up actually soapily happening.
Right.
To contrive her back in to the scene. You know, it's funny, like, this is fairly well written and quite well acted by Heather Locklear, but, like, TV is much more insistent on the idea that mothers abandon their families than I think is the incidence in real life.
Yeah.
I think maybe that's just a soap thing, but
yeah, no, I
anyway,
think you're
like
right.
Well played, but I don't know. She does kind of act like that is what happened. Like this does seem to be the psychological result. So
right.
Yeah, well done, I guess.
Yep. So the next day, we cut from the outside of what is pretty obviously a workshop on the Fox lot with a vintage cars sign stuck on it. You see this in the visual aids. To Jake inside doing some kind of baloney at his desk. Mr. Woodward comes bustling in with 7 more orders from Tokyo. Jake and his staff can fulfill them if Mr. Woodward keeps the parts coming, but right now they're in back order hell. Mr. Woodward wants to go to lunch to talk about it, but first, Jake has a question. Clip 5.
This came in yesterday, weekend delivery from overseas. There was no addressee on it, so I just opened it up.
There's nothing for you to worry about.
This is some pretty impressive figures. I have no idea we have a profit margin like that.
Where did you ever learn a term like profit margin?
Well, I did run my own business, remember?
Well, Jake, I'm sure as hell not making these cars to lose money. I mean, the profits are high because the timing is perfect. It's simple supply and demand. And those babies out there are in big time demand.
I was only curious. Let me just clean up and we'll go.
You know what? Let's take a rain check on that lunch. I got some calls to make.
Sure. No problem.
You're doing a great job on these cars, son. Keep it up. But leave the business to me. All right?
Then they kiss. Come on, Melrose guitar.
Yeah.
Take a day off.
Love, don't worry your pretty little head being directed at a man for once, but you know, I mean, he is
Where'd
blonde.
You learn a term like profit margin?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, clearly they're heading to some kind of different shady shit, but like, obviously if Jake is shocked by how much they're making on these cars, it means they're vastly underpaying their actual workers. So maybe focus on that, Jake. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Anyway, from here, they fully cross over with the A-plot, so we will pick back up with Jake and Amanda anon. On to the A-plot, Steve keeps messing with broads from the complex. Before we get to the broads, we have to get to Billy, who arrives at Escapade and finds Melanie Smith. That's the actress's name. She also played the Thanksgiving special producer that Steve slept with in his senior year of high school on 90210 when he told his mother about getting suspended over the legacy key business on live TV so that she couldn't get mad. She was also the girl that Jerry Seinfeld made out with at Schindler's List on Seinfeld, not in real life, as far as we know. Anyway, that's her sitting at Billy's desk and being unpleasant. Clip 6.
Excuse me, there's no smoking in this building.
Great, I can finally quit. Look, if you're my assistant, I need coffee fast. Unless, of course, you don't do coffee, and that would really stink. Hi, Celia Morales, new staff writer.
Yeah, Billy Campbell, and you're sitting,
and that's
right?
That's my real job, city desk at the Times, thanks to cutbacks. Their excuse for screw her, hire a guy. So are you my assistant? Let me rephrase. Do you talk?
Yeah. Occasionally, I come up for air. No, I'm not your assistant. I'm a staff writer, the same as you.
Excuse me, how thoughtless. Another senior correspondent.
Billy has a title with senior in it, and he is her peer. She should be offended.
Well, really. She is trying to burn it all down.
She is. He sarcastically asks if she ever considered turning this job down, but apparently she has too much debt not to take work that she clearly thinks is beneath her.
Journalism.
Yeah. Nancy rolls by just then, points Celia to her actual desk, and promises Billy will show her around soon. Lucky both of them. They call each other by their last name so that we know that their schoolyard hostility is soon to turn into a raging crush, because that's how it is on TV. And when she is gone, Celia is gone. Nancy tells Billy to pay attention to Celia and try to learn from her. Well, hope springs eternal, Nancy. Billy can't learn. Over to D&D. The microcomp creative team click through all of the slides of Joe's shots. No one seeming very excited about them other than Joe. Although maybe Allison's queasy face is just a reaction to Joe squeezing Steve's hand. When they're done, Amanda says that while some might call this approach subtle and classy, Allison is focusing on Steve's image and ignoring the product, which requires explanation for the consumer to get it, and then takes off for another meeting. Allison says there may be some validity to Amanda's assessment, but Steve's like, there's no validity. I like this approach, which, okay, dude, but pretend it's being presented by people that you don't want to fuck. Just a thought.
Yeah.
Steve takes off confident, and Allison starts sniffing around for gossip about Steve and Joe in clip 7.
Just when you think it's working out.
At least it is in the romance department.
Yeah. Not that a romance is something I want right now. Or need. But Steve is so amazingly interesting and bright and available. Oh, you'd have to be crazy to walk away from something like that.
Out of your mind.
You know, if you hadn't set us up, this never would have happened. I owe you one.
Oh, don't worry about it.
I love that in our doc for this episode, this is marked Eeyore's theme.
Thank you.
The music cue, because really, her hair is looking more and more wimply with every passing episode. Oh, God.
Yes. I always think leonine, but you're right. It's halfway between both of those things, and neither is good. So apparently Steve was going after Amanda to tell her that he disagrees with her and throw his weight around. She gets it, but as he's smugly sidling off, she tells him about her over 5 years of experience, which not okay. as impressive as she thinks it sounds.
No.
That she knows what she's talking about. She's sure that what they just saw will not work. And Steve grins, then it's all our butts, isn't it? And Amanda's like, no, idiot, just Allison's. And Steve's like, whoops. But later is out with Joe and Allison and Billy dancing badly at Where Else Shooters. You can see this because I made a GIF. They show Joe and Steve on the dance floor because this is supposed to show like the two of them having uninhibited fun. But Parker Stevenson is a very bad dancer and they try to conceal this by putting an extra in front of him.
Like, it does not succeed.
It does not. Allison is staring wistfully at this bad dancing as Billy tries and fails to make her notice he's alive in clip 8.
Yep, she's bad news, this Celia person. I can feel it.
Give her a break. It's her first day.
Just get confident in a job, start to relax, and along comes somebody to screw it all up.
Give her some time. I'm sure she'll warm up.
I hate double dates.
Billy, it's Friday, the weekend. No more grousing till Monday, okay?
Just expressing an opinion.
They should make every night dance night.
I don't think Parker Stevenson would agree, but...
No.
Okay.
He just looked like he was trying to swallow some barf back down the entire scene. Meanwhile, she looks like she... I don't quite know. It's not quite dancing, mm-hmm. but it's like someone threaded a broomstick through her shirt's shoulders and then she was just flopping down from it, I guess scarecrowing.
Yeah.
I mean, she looked extremely intoxicated and then there wasn't necessarily follow-up about that part.
Right.
It was not the intended effect, I think.
No, but I mean, she was not the only one dancing. Like there was a broomstick involved because Steve looks like he has one straight up his butt and he's just like moving up and down like a puppet, like a clogger. I implore you to check out the visual aids because it's real bad. Anyway,
it's so bad.
There's more than one line of dialogue about what a great dancer Steve is, which like, no. Anyway, he wants to go back on the floor, but Joe is too tired and begs Allison to take her place. And Allison can rise to the occasion. And one fade later, Allison sinks a ball at the pool table and wins $20. Joe pays up because Steve got the drinks and Steve lets her, even though he is a millionaire. And Billy says this, clip 9.
Like you can't afford it.
Yeah. What the fuck, Steve? Don't make me agree with Billy. But seriously, when you're out with three people in their 20s who are not rich, pick up the tab. That's just good manners.
Yeah. Also, it's Shooters.
It's Shooters.
No, you're. Yeah.
I mean, especially since the next thing he says is, why don't we all go up to my ranch this weekend? So, like, you're going to show them all how much money you have and you're still keeping out on the pool bet money? Anyway, the women are into it, so Billy realizes he can't be the reason they don't go and also agrees. And when the others have gone to dance again, Allison tells him that he is wonderful. Jake, meanwhile, is on his way to canoodle with Amanda when he looks out the window and sees Joe making out with Steve at her apartment door. Allison, ditto, not the canoodling with Amanda part, just looking out the window and seeing them. Both Jake and Allison's partners have to call them to get them to stop staring like pervs.
Oh, God.
Billy once again drives Allison's shitty car to the ranch. Yes, the same car that initially did not survive the journey back the last time she was there. And Allison thanks him yet again for going on the trip. Like, once is plenty. You're at a beautiful ranch. It's not like you made him go to your field hockey reunion, but whatever. They have barely started kissing when Steve comes out to put a stop to it and show us in his very light jeans what Kirstie Alley was working with all these years. I'm talking about the bulge, and I'm sorry, but it's like impossible not to notice. So go to the visual aids to see what I'm talking about, because I did a side by side to really show you.
Or go up into space. You could see it from there, too.
Joe is already at the stables, and Steve weirdly asks why they took two cars. Like, I don't know, so no one is trapped there. Also, Billy hates Joe for reasons I'm still not totally clear on, but Billy says it's in case of emergency. Pretty sure this dude has a helicopter, but if he didn't send it down to get them, okay. Billy will get the bags and sends Allison in with Steve. And where Steve comments that he hopes Amanda's calmed down since yesterday and asks what the deal is with her, and Allison needlessly volunteers that Amanda and Billy are exes. Good God, Allison learned one lesson. So Steve leads Allison into her room. Billy has by now crept up behind them to hear the end of this report. Clip 10.
Really, I think it's just a slight grudge. I mean, you're really all over it. If she's still upset, it's subconscious or something.
Still, it puts you in an awkward position.
Yeah, hasn't made things any easier with Billy, especially with Amanda living right upstairs.
I protect you from Amanda. She has no power over clients.
Here we go.
That's Billy walking in to interrupt all this gossip. Steve wants to go to the stables and thus wins the first dick contest as Billy replies that he doesn't ride. Allison offers to hang around and fish, but Billy knows that she loves to ride and tells her to go with Joe and Steve. But then she's like, okay, and he glares at her, so she failed that test, apparently. Allison and Steve ride out alone, seeing no sign of Joe. They stop to look at the wide open space so that Allison can ask if Steve appreciates what he has there. And he's like, yes, it would be nice to have someone to share it with, though. He could have anyone he wants, she says, and he's like, not anyone. And they are sharing a significant look when goofy Billy gallops up, not looking slick. It's the same exact, like, not comfortable on a horse moment as when Brandon was riding in that one episode with Cousin Bobby.
God, it's so I really hate watching scenes like this where it's like, you know, character sucks at riding because they're whipsawing the reins on the horse. Like, I know these are stunt animals who are protected, but it still like hurts me to watch. Also, if you're riding Western, it's like actually extremely difficult to be
to do that
poorly seated.
Yeah.
Even on a galloping horse, like the saddle is big. You're in it. It's like a room. It's just, I mean, I get why they do this because TV, but it just annoys me.
Yeah. Well, it ends with Billy getting knocked off his mount when it rears up and then getting right back on immediately so he doesn't look like an asshole, and which doesn't really work.
No.
That night, Steve has both arms all the way up Joe's weird Dorothy Zbornak tunic vest him to ask if he thinks they're rushing it. He says sometimes yes. Other times he wonders what they're waiting for. But she breaks off and says this, clip 11.
You know that guy this morning when you picked me up, Jake? Well, we went out for a while.
When did this happen? What?
Yeah.
Quick cutting scenes, DVDs. What am I paying for?
Well, and if the viewers didn't see it, then maybe you shouldn't bring it up when he's got his hands up your tent.
Yeah.
And what is with these outfits on Zuniga? Seriously.
Really weird. Anyway, she's bringing it up now because she's not actually over Jake. But before she and Steve proceed, she needs to know what he's thinking. And he's like, oh, a lot of the same things as you. And then clarifies that in a way he's trying to get over someone too, which is maybe not a great idea, but he does think Joe is very beautiful. Even so, she thinks they should stay in separate bedrooms for tonight. Meanwhile, in the same other bedroom, Billy is icing his hip and denying that he was trying to spy on Allison and Steve. Allison, back in her ugly wallpaper dress from the hotel in Orange County, does not believe him. She points out that this is part of a pattern with him, how his jealousy whenever she's around any other man makes him reckless, just like with Keith, which is a bad example since he was totally right that time. Allison whines that Steve is in love with Joe, which Billy does not grant, flatly stating that Steve is attracted to Allison, and they have this exchange, clip 12.
So what if he is? People can be attracted to each other, but if they don't do anything about it, what difference does it make? I have seen you ogling strange women on the street. That doesn't mean anything's going to happen.
So how long have you been ogling Steve?
You are impossible. You really are.
It's not convincing and not a good answer.
No, does not really even argue the point.
No, not at all.
Also, God, the whining.
Really?
Didn't
so bad.
Miss it in episode 9, and yet here it is.
Nope.
Turned up to 11.
So Allison storms out of that conversation and straight out to the patio where Steve is alone. He can tell that she's upset, but she tries to be casual about it, starting to change the subject to the sex he is clearly not having with Joe at the moment, but not actually getting to the end of her sentence before saying it's none of her business. But then Steve is like, shouldn't you be fucking Billy? And instead of saying, no, he fell off a horse 4 hours ago, she just stares at him. He calls it a waste of a wonderful evening, and he's leaning in to kiss her when she's like, I can't, and goes back inside. And the next day, Billy is standing by the car waiting for Allison so they can drive back to L.A. when Steve comes out first. The cover story is that Billy has work to do, LOL. But Steve just jumps ahead to say he knows that he and Allison have been spending a lot of time together, but that their relationship is purely platonic. And Billy is like, I never thought otherwise. Ooh, unforced error, Steve. So Allison comes out just then with her bags and sends Billy back in. For what? You idiots need to get organized. This is like so dumb.
Also, you got there yesterday. Yeah. Why do you have all this shit with you?
Yeah, for one night, by the way.
Yeah, even I don't pack that shitty. Come on.
Apparently, Joe is also inside packing because they're heading back too. Steve wants to explain the night before, but Allison stops him. She's scared. She finally has everything she wants in life, and then Steve comes along and she can't stop her feelings. But he can't say anything back because then Billy comes weirdly walking out with his one bag he for some reason didn't bring out himself before when he was just standing there, and it's time to go. Back at the complex, Steve walks Joe up to her door, clip 13.
Well, I had a really great time.
Liar.
I know it didn't work out last night.
Well, let's not worry about it.
It doesn't have to end, though, does it?
It's certainly a lousy way to begin. Joe, I don't think we're the kind of people, either of us, who accept second best. We tried and it didn't work out, so goes it.
Okay. So?
So? I'll see you around.
Right, yeah. See you around.
Okay.
As one smooth breakup.
I mean, as I said about Brenda and Reek, just fuck first. Like, yeah. Get it in. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, sloppy.
No? I don't know.
No, I agree.
Like, you saw what's going on in the 550s. Why not?
Seriously. Yeah. How did Steve and Joe beat Billy and Allison home? Well, Billy decided to take Allison's bald tires on the back roads and shit went awry. And they're fighting about each other's new crushes, even as Billy kneels down to change the tire. Billy is yammering that Steve is rich and handsome and smart, and maybe Billy should stand aside and let Steve have Allison when he slips and the spare goes rolling down the hill they've stopped on, and they both just crack up and declare their love. Uh-huh. Not sure how they get home after that. But anyway, that night.
Yeah, really.
With this calling with the cell phones no one has from the middle of nowhere. Anyway, that night, Allison's up in the living room when she sees Joe dangling her feet in the pool and goes out. Joe heard a rumor that Amanda was going to turn the heat off, but apparently she hasn't yet. Joe has clearly been crying and reports on the weekend's events with Steve. Allison is surprised to hear that Steve is on the rebound. Joe thinks Steve was looking for an excuse to end things and that she provided one by not boning him. Allison can't really answer Joe's question, what do I do, because her mind is racing with thoughts of single Steve. But when prompted, she says she doesn't know what Joe should do. And at Escapade the next day, Celia is telling Billy about her idea to compare men's salaries versus women's in L.A. Billy thinks Nancy will call it a yawn, but twist, Celia already pitched it and Nancy called it brilliant. And Celia then picks up the framed, obviously a Melrose Place press photo of Allison off Billy's desk. It's one of the same ones Keith had, I'm pretty sure, and condescendingly asks if Allison is the little woman. Billy tries to get rid of Celia by asking if she doesn't have to get to work, but Celia says she's a procrastinator and can't get started until the last minute in a way I think we're supposed to think is charming, but is actually just immature. And Billy apparently agrees with me because he just glares at her wearily. Anyway, Celia wants to kill time commenting on Allison. Cute, wholesome, girl next door, etc. She guesses everyone calls Allison and Billy a perfect couple and then threatens to pitch a story called The Last Perfect Couple about them. And Billy says she's starting to get on his nerves and Celia can tell that that means he is horny. Speaking of horny, over to D&D, where Allison and Joe are talking about how to light the computers for the hardware shots. Steve is a little chilly on his way out, but when he gives Joe's arm a brief pat and Allison leaves to walk him out, Amanda surmises that the weekend sucked. Joe promises their breakup won't affect the campaign, and they have this exchange, clip 14.
Poor Billy. His life is in shambles again.
I don't understand. Why, Billy?
You didn't notice? I certainly have. The moment Steve walked into these offices, the man has definite interest in Allison, but because of her relationship with Billy, it's not being pursued.
Amanda, you're crazy. Allison's totally in love with Billy.
You mean you didn't wonder when she set you up with Steve? You didn't think that it might be because she was tempted by him herself? Allison can't fall in love with anyone who's not already taken.
Oh, and you can.
If this is about Jake, he pursued me.
Of course he did. Jake wouldn't have it any other way.
Joe, don't presume to know anything about my relationship with him.
Well, if it's anything more than sex, I'd be floored.
It's about a lot more. The most intense relationship of my life. And Jake's.
Well, fine. That's great for you, Amanda. That's really great for both of you.
Very convincing, Amanda. Nat.
Yeah. It's a little presumptuous of her to say that on behalf of Jake, who is not present, but, you know, I get where she's going.
Yeah. Also, like, we get it. You don't have to pee all over Joe. Just a little sprinkle would get the message across just fine.
Over to the set of the photo shoot where Allison is setting up a laptop and Joe is in no mood, but takes virtually no prodding to ask Allison why she never told Joe that Steve had been interested in Allison first before setting him up with Joe. I don't recall Allison being involved in that decision at all, but okay. Allison denies that she's into Steve despite the fact that she fully did tell Joe at the first photo shoot that if not for Billy, she would have been throwing herself at him. And Joe hopes Allison means it, because if she's this pissed, Billy is going to lose his mind. Speaking of whom, when we see Allison and Billy next, he's distractedly telling Allison about the interview he's accompanying Celia on and straightening up his gigantic outfit. He promises to get home early, but she just intends to watch TV and go to bed. And Billy's at the door when the phone rings. He assumes it's Celia calling to check on him, but it's Steve wanting to take Allison out and discuss a breakthrough campaign idea. Sure. Joe is parking her motorcycle at the gate when Steve parks behind her. She purrs that this is a surprise, and he smiles too much and makes her think that he has come for her before admitting why he's actually there. And Joe has a pertinent cue, clip 15.
Let me ask you something, Steve. Is Allison the mystery woman that you were pining for? The one you mentioned at the ranch? I thought so.
Do you want to explain why you're laughing?
I mean, we should probably hear the clip again. The fart sound is Allison coming out of the gate to be picked up by Steve. But oh my God, like there's this awkward silence then. So good.
Let me ask you something, Steve. Is Allison the mystery woman that you were pining for? The one you mentioned at the ranch?
Let me ask you something, Steve. Have you been eating cabbage and drinking whole milk? I thought so. Poot. Look, people, you got to make your own fun with this shit. And I have made my own fun. Oh, God.
Well done.
Treasure that always.
So Jake has just finished swimming laps in cut-off jeans when Joe comes in.
We get it. He's salt of the earth.
Yeah. Joe comes in and coldly tells him about her breakup with Steve and invites him to tell the complex all about it, though she assumes that Amanda already has. Jake plays dumb about what Amanda has to do with anything, and Joe gets hostile, referring to Jake mousing around, wanting to be Joe's friend, which, by the way, we have seen zero evidence of, but whatever. He says that Amanda's a good person who's misunderstood, and Joe doesn't believe it, and they do not part on good terms. So Jake goes upstairs, commenting when Amanda asks that his swim was a little cold, so confirmed she did end up cutting the heat to the pool. He reports on his conversation with Joe. Amanda says that she's a good person, basically, but clearly is not interested in talking about her. Jake wants to turn in, but Amanda made dinner and wants to talk. There's plenty of time for that later. So apparently conversation happens on Jake's schedule. Now we know. And Billy gets home from his interview with Celia to find the apartment empty because Allison is walking on the beach with Steve. She liked all his ideas, whatever they were. She's just preoccupied. The beach is an odd place for brainstorming, and it turns out that's not what they were doing at all. Clip 16.
You know, when we first met, it was all just business. Now it's rarely that. I've been a distraction, haven't I?
Best thing that ever happened to me.
Said the same thing about Joe.
I wasn't fair to Joe. I was wrong to go out with her. I think the only thing I was attracted to was her availability.
Why did you pursue it?
I was hoping she'd get me over my feelings for you.
Did she?
No, she didn't.
I keep hoping every time I see you that my feelings for you won't be there anymore. They'll just go away. This really isn't me.
Allison.
They finally kiss. That is not Eeyore's theme in our doc.
It could have used more fart noises. Just my opinion.
Indeed. And that's the episode. So let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Whoever failed to oil the gate at Melrose Place is my MVP.
That's pretty good. Oh, God. I don't know. I guess I'll give it to Kimberly, who stuck to her guns and did not let Michael manipulate her for now.
Yeah, that works.
All right. Least valuable player. Amanda's dad, who, as I said before, is at least wildly underpaying his employees, if not engaged in actual criminal activity.
I don't know. Celia, smokes inside, has a bunch of Emma from 90210 ideas, and wants to bone Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Lethal.
Yeah. Boy, Steve and Billy. Bad taste.
Yep. Oof. Next time on Again With This, a car wreck sets the stage for TV history's greatest wig rip. Billy's snooping sets the stage for a Billison breakup, and Hope Brady from Days tries to set Sydney up as a sex worker. You should set yourself up with some cucumber slices and a handful of Advil before checking out our visual aids. We do them for every episode of Again With This, and you'll find them on our website, againwiththispodcast.com. To learn more, follow us on Twitter at AWT90210. Or change into your going out dancing microcomp ball cap and electric slide over to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/againwiththis, where any level of support gets you extra content. I'm overworked ASPCA equine monitor Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Slight Grudge Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Florist's Dream David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
Ooh. What?